don't think anyone will notice the crinkle, that tiny little crinkle.
No! You don't understand how high this gain is right now.
Okay.
We're okay, we're okay.
Get them all out, boys.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Red Jacks On, where this week we are one of those rare occasions where we are together in the same room. So don't mind the sound quality being a little bit different. We're in a very echoey room in a space I have not soundproofed yet. But that's besides the point.
Irresponsible, really, aren't
they? Yeah, it's just bad planning.
Should have taken that into consideration well ahead of time, to be honest, mate.
Negative review for the host.
And you all think that way,
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, cool. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new podcast called Just Red Jacks One. There's just one of us. Everyone else has left.
That's it, just add an E. Perfect.
I'm telling you, it's already there. Anyway, we are here today after a great time, first time in a long time, of going to watch Deadpool and Wolverine. Is it just Deadpool and Wolverine? Deadpool. I was going to say Deadpool versus Wolverine. Or Deadpool and Wolverine, Deadpool 3, whatever you want
Wolverine
to call it.
20.
We have literally watched it. Yeah, literally. Got home and we'd be like, we cannot talk about it till we hit record. Yeah. So we've held back. Yeah. Boys.
It's so tough.
It was tough. It was
a lot to talk about.
What are we thinking? Minutes. What are we feeling? Let's just open the floor.
All right, well.
10 out of 10.
I mean, for storyline alone, just a great story. Just a fun story. bringing the TVA into it was a really good choice.
I think
a lot of people have seen Loki, and even if you haven't seen Loki, they kind of reference Loki enough just so you go, okay, I think I get what we're
enough. It was like, oh my god, that's from Goliath from season one, episode five.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, okay, that's more than a reference.
The fourth wall break goes really well with exposition.
Yeah.
It just so easy to just explain it exactly as it is.
Yeah.
Directly to us. They put that together really well, like with the cameos they got. They weave together quite a good story, which is pretty much just about the relationship between Deadpool and Wolverine.
They
built from scratch, like there.
I think. Are we giving like 10 now, or are we giving our scores now? Or do we?
I'll tell you what, it's a good idea. Give your ratings now, and then at the end of the podcast, give your ratings
true,
again because it always changes.
Yeah, I would say right now it's probably like a solid 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
I think. It could change to a 9, but that's my first instinct, because I think, one, they nailed the level of, like, what's it called? You know when something's been overly done? Oversaturation. There's such an oversaturation of a lot of these Marvel quirks and qualities and stories of, like, multiverse and cameos and give. Like, I think they nodded and winked enough where you're like, okay, cool. Of course you're going to take advantage of this. You're part of Disney now. I mean, the whole fuck Fox thing really did shake me when he just goes to the camera and goes for it. I was like, all right.
On it and shit.
But, I think this film could have easily fallen into, like I said, oversaturated, overdone, or like maybe a little bit annoying. I think they balanced out his breaking the four quirks, a bit of heartfelt, the crazy action. Like, they knew exactly why you were there, and they're like, let's just give it to him and do it in the best way possible.
Yeah.
I think they could, they just hit it's that note.
Balance well.
There was a
but
good
what
balance.
Lost it the 2 points for you? For it being a perfect Deadpool film,
I think it hasn't sat with me long enough. I'm honestly speaking.
Yeah, but it's the first time watch, you've got to expect that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to put it. Like, I don't know. Actually, I don't know exactly at this point. I will kind of get there, but it didn't wow me. It's just a feeling. It didn't hit me in such a way of like I need to watch that again. I was like, no, I'm glad I got to watch it. I'm glad I got to watch it with you guys. But I'm just like. Yeah. Solid film.
I would say one of the balls dropped, and like I'll get the negative out of the way because I think the rest of it's going to just be us bumming it off anyway. But one of the negatives I will point out is, unless they're doing another Deadpool film, which they probably will, but unless they're doing another one and that Thor scene is going to happen in that one, the fact that they brought that up and then didn't show it in this one actually really irked me.
Really?
Because they mentioned it he mentioned it again a few times afterwards, and it was like, yeah, it's got to happen. It's going to be silly. I expected something really silly. Thor was going to come down and hold
it. So you think it's less likely to happen if it was just a throwaway little thing at the beginning that you saw on the screen?
Yeah, maybe I would have just got over it. No, I don't know. It kind of was like showing.
I feel like with them mentioning it a lot of times, I think that kind of made it be, oh, like, this is just something for this film.
Just a gimmick for the film. I think,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it as showing the
Loaded
Gun.
The most cameo they could get out of Chris Hemsworth, I reckon.
But that's it, they've got him in that scene.
Yeah.
Like, so this, they've shot something.
No, like, I think that was that, even... That, that wasn't
you think that was just edited that from just, 4-2?
Yeah, that's no, what I took it as.
I kind of thought that might be it.
It was the same shot
he's
from
got
camera
a scar.
Angle.
He's got a scar.
Got a scar on it. Yeah, I mean, I know they could add that in. They could add that in. I thought it was a scene, brand new scene shot, to be honest. I'd like to look into it.
Maybe.
If he's credited, it probably means he shot.
So I think all this is stuff like, well, the reason why I think it definitely does deserve a second watch.
Yeah, I did look back and see exactly what 4 that was, because at first glance I thought that was from 4-2.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be.
But then with them bringing it up again and again made me think, oh, actually, is this its own thing that
they've done a quick cameo and then just kept referencing it? Like,
is that something that's supposed to have actually happened?
I took that as like they're keeping Deadpool in the MCU, and at some point that's gonna be a scene where Thor's that's the way I took it. And he every time he was knocked unconscious, he would wake up or have a dream, and he was talking about Thor.
Yeah, exactly. So he kept bringing it up.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a thing at some point down the road. Because
the Russo brothers are signed on to do the next two Avengers films.
I did hear about that.
So, I mean, there's a good chance the original Avengers are going to turn up, and there was a good chance Deadpool will. So maybe it is a reference from that, and I really fucking hope it is, because the moment that scene happens, everyone who's seen this film, which will be everyone, will just start laughing. We'll just go crazy for it. Like, we'll all know it's coming when Deadpool's on the floor and Thor's about with the scar and everything. We'll all be like, oh, it's coming! And he'll be like, I've dreamt just like I dreamt it, or whatever. Just like I imagined.
Yeah, how would you how would you feel that if it did happen, if it was a future thing and it paid off, but it was like a throwaway bit or like something like a little compilation, little quick moment. Like, what if they just do it like boom, boom, just like I dreamed, and then just moves on? What if there's nothing else?
No, it'd have to play it to the storyline.
You'd have to play it. Okay, okay.
Like, Thor would have to be in it for at least 5 minutes, like, to earn his spot
it'd
in the
have
film.
A couple of interactions before
yeah,
but as they said with my favorite cameo, and I think for a lot of people,
of course,
it was the whole like. As soon as I heard the voice, I was like, I know that voice. I know who the fuck it is. And I was like, it's fucking Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, sorry. Yeah. Cap.
Yeah.
And, I don't have to tell you guys. You guys want to explain it. Like, the way they paint that picture, man, is like blue and red. He's got the commanding voice.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, he's going to say
guess,
it.
Did any of you guess it?
No. I didn't. No.
I knew.
I was as shocked as Deadpool and Wolverine.
When they were driving up, they had the little car, and it had the Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, okay, so there's going to be some Fantastic Four people on there. But I didn't click that it was going to be Johnny Storm. I just thought it was going to be Cap. Because when he pointed,
he's gonna
and he had like the red, white, and blue wrap on a proper bait and switch.
Yeah.
Flame on! You're like, oh, it's Johnny Storm!
When he said,
okay,
say it, I was like, he's going to say Flame on.
I had no clue.
I knew it was coming. When he did it, I was like, yes, get him. No, what a result. I'm glad he didn't die in that. Well, I mean, he did die in the end. But I'm glad he didn't die from that first hit.
Fall.
Yeah, that fall. I'm glad that was a comic relief kind of fall, not just his end.
That was brutal.
And it would have just been the same as, what's his name, John Krasinski in Multiverse.
Yes.
With
Illuminati.
Reed Richards, yeah. That would have, and everyone was pissed about that. I mean, I was actually surprised they killed him anyway.
Yeah.
But at least it was funny. At least he had like an end credit scene.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the whole payoff with him from Deadpool just quoting I still don't know if that is
Chris Evans,
if it was real though, if Deadpool just kind of orchestrated this video of like, no he really did say it, or did he actually just have this whole fucking monologue?
I mean, it was completely different from what Deadpool said.
Was it completely different?
I think it was the same.
You think? I think it was the same. Because he was saying certain things that I remember him saying.
Same.
In
he hit the same beats, but I can't remember the words.
He said it's twice as long.
It was longer, and I'm pretty sure he said something.
When Deadpool was saying it, he kind of broke it up.
See,
I think for Chris Evans to do that scene, even the post-credit scene, he was going off a lot. You could tell he was like half laughing.
Yeah.
And when the camera switched to like Deadpool and Jack Black. you could see even like he was kind of like trying to not laugh. That he was trying to stay in character.
He couldn't even look up. He looked down the entire time he was saying it.
What's your score, Charlie?
I think at the minute, it can, in comparison, out of the other Deadpools, the Deadpool 1 was definitely my favourite, and that was like a good 9 out of 10. I would say this is like a 9, a 9
is
out of 10.
Is that the same scale though? Like, how would you compare the two of them together?
It's two different, very different versions of Deadpool, but I actually preferred this one to the first one, I think this is my favourite one so far. It definitely had these moments where I thought, I kind of wish something more was happening here, but then they delivered a big thing afterwards every time, so it was like, you know what, it scratched the itch every time. Yeah. It kind of dropped a little bit for me.
Do you know what, I think you're right. I think that's why the sense of my score being 8 was like, okay, it didn't wow me, but when I actually think about it, it's not a con, it's a pro. Like, it was a very grounded story.
Mm.
Like, 2 was way more out there, in a sense, because it started to mess around with stuff outside of itself, with time travel and more crazy characters and shit. But for me as well, it would be between 1 and 3. I've enjoyed 1 and 3 the most compared to 2. 2 was still good.
2 was great.
2, yeah. 2 was, it was a perfect number 2. But I think that's what they did. It was a perfect. No, it was perfect. That's what I'm trying to say. But I think that's the sequence. It's always like, 1 is grounded like John fucking Wick, and then number 2 is, it grows a bit bigger. And I'm glad they didn't do number 3 even bigger. Even though they got all this money and like star power behind it, it was still small and grounded.
Yeah.
Between the character, like, very tight knit characters and just amazing characters around them.
Rick,
are we doing halves?
Yeah.
We can do halves. I think
8.5.
I think I'm leaning more towards a 9, but I think at the moment 8.5. It's fresh. I still need to give it a second watch and probably take in what was actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the story was great. Seeing Hugh Jackman as Wolverine again, like full on Wolverine suit, everything.
Oh yeah,
it was just very great. Mm-hmm. Even when he called, like at the beginning, it was like, "Get your sock ready, nerds! It's about to go down, or whatever." It was just sick seeing like them fight two like immortal people just raging. It was actually sick.
It was a bit of a sex scene as well, wasn't it?
It was a little bit.
I thought it might have taken that turn at some point, but I think they know it would have pissed off a lot of people.
No,
I think they were almost sexually charged, the fact that they couldn't kill each other. They just all over each other for like what, a whole night.
Something kind of suggestive.
Yeah.
All the choreography of the fight scenes, everything, they were done really well as well.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible.
Like proper spot on to have both of them doing shit at the same time across the screen, all these different people. It was done really well.
Some of the moves, like trying to, like, you know, like I watch a lot of Corridor Crew when they break down like CG, and watching how some of it was being done, it was like, how did they get his body to move that way with his fist, but then the claws coming through and then coming back out and going through certain points? You're like, it was crazy cool. Yeah. There was just so many things that I was like, I wish I could freeze frame this and just watch like how they're doing some of this, because I bet they were using weird props and stuff to like, you know, get them to move around.
Speaking of CG, I think one of the things that makes it an 8 out of 10 for me is some of the CG.
Oh, really?
One bit that sticks out for me is when they jump out of the bus and Deadpool is saying something, so it's actually, I'm pretty sure that's actually Ryan Reynolds, but Wolverine next to him, that he was
full
definitely CG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they jump out of the back of the bus
and he lands, Deadpool trips.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, I noticed more CG Wolverine than I did, let's say, Deadpool, when they did little body swaps for little moments like that. But it didn't overly bug me. It was only when they had their first fight, I think towards the beginning of the void, when Deadpool hits the whole like fucking 20th Century Fox logo in the void, and they have that fight. It just shows Wolverine on all fours, like very comic book, crawling up, running along. And in that moment, I was like, okay, CG's not 100%, it's fine, but I was like, please, just don't, I don't care, even if it is sick, don't lean too heavy into it. Just give me more of a fist, like, punch up. Yeah. Let me see them do their shit. And they did. They delivered in that area, but it was
that,
a little bit.
That crawling scene in particular, it did remind me of Sabretooth from, what was it, X-Men 2 or X-Men 1? And it was just like, come on, we can do it better than that. Like, you know how they did it with the running in Civil War? in the underpass, like how you can make people look like they're actually physically going quick.
Yeah,
it didn't look like he was going quick at all. It actually looked like it was slowing him down.
It kind of looked difficult.
And that kind of, yeah, I do get what you mean by the CG now. But there was a lot of it in the right places. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't overkill.
What was her name? Nova something. And she would do the hand underneath the head. And
That was cool.
I'm going to call
that
her...
That was great CG.
Mrs. X. Because I can't remember her
Mrs.
name.
Mrs. X. Cassandra. They were sisters. The brother and sister. They weren't married.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Cassandra. All right, Mrs. X. Cassandra X then. The girl X.
Cassandra
X. Yeah, but she's an Xavier. That's... You know.
She was cool.
She was cool.
She was a cool villain. And I like that... It kind of tied itself up with her and the government, almost, and then they got to be the heroes.
She could have been a solid villain for a very long time, but they killed her off real quick. Like, she was mad OP for whatever she was doing.
That did it for me as well, because it's not like they fought her.
Yeah.
They just kind of...
Kind of like a little team-up thing, and then outsmarted her. Yeah,
I think it's... I agree, but it wasn't the kind of point. Like, she wasn't a forgettable villain, which at the very least I'm okay with. Because in a lot of Marvel films, I know it's like forgettable villains because they're just there to kind of advocate what the hero is going to do or needs to do.
Mm.
But this film wasn't about heroes. It was literally, as you guys said, it's just this relationship between these two people.
Trying
to work together. And that person is going to be a throwaway. I mean, they can still multiverse it and bring her in again. It wasn't that bad, but yeah, her loop was closed very, very quickly. But I thought it served the purpose of the story. She done well enough.
Yeah, yeah. Getting from A to B was unpredictable, but I kind of like that. I like that it was because he taps into the fourth wall a lot. He calls his own bullshit throughout the film, which is kind of cool. Like, it kind of allows you to go, all right, I'll tolerate it. You know, I'm enjoying it, so I'm not gonna...
I know you know, you know I know.
That is actually a good point, yeah, because most Marvel films, you can kind of always tell the rhythm that it's gonna do.
Mm.
Like, there's the little conflict, and there is a certain story beat that we're used to seeing. But with Deadpool, this one specifically, I didn't really know where it was gonna go, at what point it was gonna get there, how it was gonna do it. It just kind of... It was a mess, but it got there, and it kind of made sense.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. Like, it was hard to track where it was going, but I like that about it. It wasn't predictable.
Yeah, it reminded me a bit of Vox Machina in the way that, like, it almost seemed like a lot of it was just rolling of a dice, and you had no idea who was going to win or lose any fight. Because they can all die and come back. Well, not all of them, but, you know, the main two characters can die and come back whenever. So, like, at any point, someone's head could get chopped off or whatever. So, it's just, like, it just seems like anything can happen.
When Blade, Elektra, and Gambit, and
were
fighting, and it kind of looked like they were going to lose.
Yeah.
And then instantly, they kind of redeemed it.
Yeah.
That's what... One thing I'm happy about what this franchise has done is they've kind of... There's a smile and a wink, but they've not taken the piss out of these characters.
Mm.
But they've given all of them a redemption. All of them a blatant way of being like, let's have our end.
Yeah.
And have all their little own witty jokes and comments and statements that they could do. Because their franchise is just burned off.
Mm.
It didn't go anywhere, so they got that redemption. And especially for X-24, which I was actually happiest to see her in a week.
23, yeah.
Sorry. I was happiest to see her because I was like, that girl kind of... They shot Logan in a very particular way for a Marvel film. It's very unique.
Mm.
But they're not focusing on that angle anymore, so they might not be able to fit her in. Just like how they tried to fit, like, Netflix Deadpool, Daredevil into, like, She-Hulk and Marvelize him. He didn't mix. So they kind of just did, technically throw her into the void as well. So I was really pleased to see her.
It was nice to see her, but they didn't really overly explain how and why she got there.
No, they didn't give her much talking, actually.
It was literally just, it was a nice throwback to Logan, cool. But how, again? Or how are you here? She didn't really serve much purpose.
I guess.
She was just there to kind of like help round out the team a little bit and link Logan into it.
Mm.
But other than that, she didn't really do...
I mean, this film was built on the cameos a lot. It was first and foremost about Deadpool and Wolverine's relationship, and then the rest of it was like just about the cameos and the wacky stuff going on.
Yeah,
and then the plot was just like
there to kind of just allow you to see
all these fun things forward.
Yeah,
it was a very much a film of it's the journey over the destination.
Mm-hmm.
Like there wasn't a clear cut direction, but I think, like quoting a new phrase, it was built upon a lot of cameos and all of those people being there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad it didn't rely on it so much. If that makes sense, like it added to the story without it, like I said, feeling oversaturated or overly done, or just it's a quick death. It's a quick death. It's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
You know, you paid a meal for them for their face for a day. Whereas like, no, they were part of the film. Yeah. They needed to be there.
Yeah, they gave everyone a good amount of screen time.
Villains and and Johnny Storm.
It was cool seeing a lot of them come back. It was really cool seeing them come back,
especially for our generation. They were our first.
Yeah,
like, they were a lot of our first people.
Yeah, X-Men was definitely the big introduction into the superhero universe, other than Blade. Blade was definitely the first, like, real big superhero. I'm glad Blade made an appearance. And I'm so glad, I want to say it on the podcast, I'm so glad he said, some motherfuckers are still trying to
wipe me uphill. As soon as I heard that, I looked at you and you're like, yes.
Classic line.
Mm-hmm.
What a fucking line. I'm so glad he said it.
I didn't get that line. I didn't know what
it was. Oh, mate, watch Blade. And it's just one of the stupidest lines ever. And you're like, what?
I don't remember him saying it.
Yeah, it became a meme. It's just so funny. Like, people really pulled it out of context. Like, what does that even mean? What a fucking thing to say.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I did find the statement when he was like, there will always be only one Blade, like, motherfucker.
There's only been one Blade.
Yeah.
Well, because it keeps getting cancelled.
That's what I'm saying, but I was like, that statement was like... But then also
the look to the camera.
Yeah. But it wasn't... Extra. Like, it wasn't a joke. It was more like, it was more like, okay.
I think we might have
an awkward moment. Because I was expecting more of a, like, what the fuck is taking so long? But it was like, no, there is only one. And Deadpool just proper leans in and like, okay.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if that means we actually do have another one,
or we've just lost faith in it or something.
We've just dropped it completely. Yeah,
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if that nod was kind of like he doesn't know, kind of nod, if it was like a confirmation kind of like you heard.
Yeah, it's been cancelled, mate.
What if it was genuinely a joke though, originally in the script, just like, oh, there was, you know, when where is there going to be a next one? And he just keeps reading out like there's only one. He's like, no, it's Mrs. Snipes, please. Listen, the line is, it's, you know, will there be another one? No, there is only one. So, okay, we can't do this.
To be fair, he's not wrong, but there has only been one Blade.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
I mean, Marshall Ali, I think that's his name. Yeah. The guy who played Cottonmouth in Luke Cage, he was meant to be
thinking. Yeah, he's been
fucking. Well, he was in the end credits of Eternals, wasn't he?
Oh, I didn't watch
it. I think he was in the end credits of Eternals. I didn't actually watch Eternals, I'm not even going to lie, but I've seen...
No, Eternals thingy, who's in Eternals? Jon Snow.
Angelina Jolie's in Eternals as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's
Jon
Snow's actor? I think he was in the end credits.
Oh, was he not in the whole film?
He was in the film, yeah.
I think he is giving something to Blade. I'm so sure.
I've heard is just delays with Blade. I've heard like no genuine confirmation.
I would like Marshall Ali to play him because that would be fucking dope. He's a great actor.
He's a good actor.
Talking of cameos as well, there was obviously the one that we googled when we got home, which was like a semi-secret and done so fucking well because we didn't question it, which was Lady Blake Lively. Yeah, Blake Lively. Is it Lady Paul or Lady Deadpool?
Lady Paul.
Yeah, there were rumours that it was going to be Taylor Swift. And it's so much better that it was his wife. Yeah. Come on, it's just perfect.
Yeah. Give it to Blake.
She should have taken her mask off. I kind of wanted her to take her mask off, but maybe the reveal would have been a bit like, oh, we've had so many reveals. Like,
it's true.
Yeah,
so reveals by that
point. I want to know who the kid was as well. I have a feeling the kid might be one of his kids.
Possibly.
Because I don't see why not.
The first kid or the last baby kid?
The one who was swearing.
The first kid.
If I wanted your opinion, I'd get Wolverine's dick out of your mouth.
Yeah, I bet that's one of his kids.
Yeah, I think so.
What about the thing, I didn't expect it to be this person, but the way they shot the camera angle of him from that Wolverine from behind, when it was Henry Cavill.
Oh yeah, that was a fun cameo.
I was expecting Daniel Radcliffe.
I'll be honest, Henry Cavill actually looks pretty.
He got a good voice on as well, didn't
he?
Yeah,
he does look pretty.
He was
sick
a solid
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to replace Hugh Jackman, but I know he can't do it forever.
No,
if he was to be replaced. Henry Cavill would be a very good...
In all fairness, Henry Cavill is one of those people that could easily play like an alternate version of Cap as well. Because he's got that stoicism, he's got that build.
He's a very good actor. I like him a lot.
He could just be anyone. I just had a thought. Do you think Do you think that the first Wolverine he goes to see, the really short one?
Yeah.
Do you think that the Hugh Jackman even knew that scene was in there?
I think he
because that though. short Hugh Jackman could have just been CG because he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I don't think really. It says anything.
No. He just kind of stands.
It's like a face replacement.
Can you imagine they did that whole scene
and didn't tell you?
And it's just like a joke.
And he goes to the premiere and watches. Yeah. It's like, the fuck? What is this?
You said the green dots because I was going to have extra arms.
That tiny little Wolverine. You know, Cory Doctorow did the Danny DeVito Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cute.
I did expect a lot of just random big actors to just be random versions of Deadpool and Wolverine in this film. I did think there was just going to be an ensemble of like Michael Cera and shit. Like just
Wolverine, you know what I mean? They could have easily done it in such a way. You know, like Star Wars done it with like the Star Troopers.
Mm.
I think they're called Star Troopers?
Stormtroopers?
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, and like they had so many like celebrity cameos, but all underneath the mask, like Daniel, fucking James Bond and all that shit was under.
Yeah. Simon Pegg was.
A lot of big fans. Yeah. They don't tell anyone, they reveal it later. But if they've just done the scene where all the Deadpools are there and they just keep revealing and they're just always celebrities, but the original Deadpool's like, no, stop, seriously, guys, we're running out of the budget, please. No more fucking reveals. Like, they're like, the Michael Cera pops. I'm like, no.
Yeah. They were really careful with that budget.
Yeah.
Because Colossus didn't have speaking lines.
No.
He had a few, not many.
He barely did anything.
Colossus didn't
say anything at all.
He said a couple lines. Because I heard his accent.
Was that in the birthday?
Was that
party?
The birthday when it was going between all of them. So they could get at least one line.
Yeah.
Exactly. He asked him, like, Yoko, are you watching anything lately? And he was like, whatever he said. He said something, but he didn't have many lines. I think that was the only thing that he did.
True. Okay. Actually, that's the only lines they had in that scene. And that's why they kind of ran around the room. Shatterstar was alive.
Yeah, that confused me.
Shatterstar,
the one in the white suit, like from the X-Force.
In number two, he's the one who landed on the helicopter when they parachuted.
Then he went back and saved everyone though with Cable Singh, didn't he?
I think he only saved Peter.
Peter, so. That's what I was thinking. I was like, he only just saved Peter. Away.
Oh, he's probably just saved them all. That's probably all that implied.
Maybe.
So yeah.
No, well, they bring it up in the TVA that
he
had
does
a
say
team
he killed them all.
That all died.
Yeah.
Due to gravity.
Due to gravity.
It might be due to his power, like something we don't know. But again, it's one of those films that I feel like it doesn't need to explain it. It doesn't need to. It wasn't even.
What's weird, he was there though.
It was weird.
You say it, yeah, it's kind of weird.
There is one very weird loophole that confuses me a bit. So that Deadpool is from the same universe as Logan.
Yeah.
So therefore, Patrick Stewart is Professor X
in his world.
But in Deadpool 2, there's a cameo, isn't there?
Yeah. They're all young ones.
All the first class X-Men.
Yeah. Well, that timeline would line up.
No, that
the Logan
was,
timeline doesn't at all line up.
Logan timeline was at 616. This one was 1000 or something.
Yeah.
It was a different timeline.
Okay. They only showed 616 when he was applying for the Avengers.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand that, because in 10005 Vanessa says that you got turned down.
Yeah.
And then you just gave up talking about applying for the Avengers.
Yeah, that was a different Avengers then, I'm guessing. Yeah, that was their version.
Yeah, that's a good point actually.
So yeah, I don't understand why that scene was in there.
This is why you shouldn't
that
mess
was a
with
weird
timelines.
Scene.
It gets fucking confusing.
But I guess he was applying for the Avengers in his universe, but we never saw that Avengers.
Do you know what? I kind of saw it as, and I know it's for logistical reasons, but I was like, that's almost like the kind of the Fox timeline and this is the Marvel timeline.
Mm.
And that's just how I kind of saw it. Because maybe, again, how I explained it in my head was like, as they established in Marvel, like, there is no such thing as time travel, right? You go and you basically fuck with an alternative reality, you come back, and so on and so forth. Mm. You affect the other timelines. But in Deadpool 2, he goes back in time in his own time and, like, saves Vanessa, saves
the
future. So I thought of it like, maybe he does Marvelize it without realizing he's jumping to alternative realities constantly. Maybe he's with Vanessa in a version where he saves her. And they stay together. So it's like kind of branching off. That's how I took it.
No, I think Cable was pure time control.
Pure time control.
But you're right. In terms of the MCU, it's completely different to what their logic is on time travel.
Yeah, because they don't go into that. They basically just kind of like shake it off. It, yeah, but like a throwaway line of like, yeah, we know the time shit you did. Yeah, we know you destroyed it. And moving on.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. So I was like, okay, maybe it was just direct.
And that was nothing to do with it anyway.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with it. Was that the reason they knocked on his door? What was the original reason for them, like, kidnapping him?
They were going to destroy his timeline anyway.
But why did they want to recruit him?
They wanted to keep him.
Yeah.
Because they just wanted him to be, like, a...
Because it was the higher-ups that he was
special. Like a suicide
squad
for him, isn't it?
Did they ever explain what the higher-ups wanted with him? Or was it... Probably Disney. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're right. It was probably just a little Disney nod. Yeah. There's just a moment they go to the higher ups. It's like, oh boy.
I did wonder if at the end, because we saw X-23 at the end, sitting at the table.
Yeah.
I did wonder if the others were going to be there.
Well, I did think that wouldn't they have all got eaten by
Goliath?
Goliath.
But X-23 was there as well.
But maybe she's got the healing factor.
Yeah, but if you get eaten by that thing, you're dead.
That's the whole point of Goliath, right?
But, like, it was coming right for him, and I know it was going for, like, Wolverine and Deadpool over with the portal, and it, you know, kind of got them. But surely it would have got that whole battle scene.
Do you know what?
I think it was above them, but...
I think the reality is, we know that, to a certain extent, just like how DC has tried to establish a pattern and a logic and a rhythm of their own films to follow one concise story, just not worked for whatever reasons. Marvel's hit a stage where, I'm not saying it's hit a point where it's not functioning as it should, but it's just not doing as well, right? And because all these little things are changing, so they've finally got the rights back from Fox, or like I said, like their main villain had the whole court ordeal and then he was out, so they had to like change the story. It's like, you know when you can tell like an organization is not kind of going to the map. Because when you map everything out, everything coincides. Every logic has to keep extended. But this is like an add-on. This is something they probably didn't overly anticipate. And it just feels like Marvel's a bit scattered with their lore. Like, we could sit here and fucking talk about it all day. But in reality, Deadpool made it very clear, especially with the fourth like wall breaking, this is just our stuff. This is just our thing. Like, oh, we've done multiverse. Oh, we've done... It's just us.
And like they want to continue that.
Yeah.
That multiverse call was fucking spot. I think someone clapped. I'm pretty sure 100%. Someone clapped in the audience. Straight up, like, look, we keep trying this multiverse shit. It's not working. It's been a fail every time. So let's just stop. I like that Peter was the anchor to the Deadpool.
Yes.
Like, that was such a nice little. Do you know what? That's cool. Every Deadpool has a fucking Peter.
He was a bit like the Jerry of every universe, or a bit like the Morty or something. I can't explain it, but he's just that constant.
Yeah. They were all just so happy to see him.
I guess it counts, but Deadpool 1 is like the only one that had, like, I guess a proper fight scene at the end, a battle that Deadpool was actually in, because he was fighting Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Deadpool 2, it wasn't so much like that. It was just like, save the kid.
Save
Russell. And then Deadpool 3 is also like that. There wasn't like a big ending battle. I mean, it was them versus all the Deadpools. But they didn't face off against Cassandra Nova.
No, they kind of split it a bit. They kind of split it into the fights with the Deadpools and the fight against her army.
I think that's what differentiates.
I kind of liked it. It didn't just have a big boss battle. It was kind of nice to just have little spurges. And even at the end, when he was in like the final third, even turning to the camera and being like, "Yeah, I know, guys, we're nearly there. Don't worry." It was like perfect timing because he knew that the beats were different, and it's like the audience would expect it to be ending soon, but there was actually an extra bit that they had to finish.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, sorry, we knew, like, but that's why we do it like this.
Probably done a lot of that because they can't really have a fight with Cassandra. Her power was just too OP. Regardless of what you're going to do to her, she's just like, wave a finger and you're done. So that's probably also why they didn't have a big fight with her, because they know that you're not going to win.
I think she was a bad choice for a fight against Wolverine and Deadpool. I would have liked to have seen another immortal female character who's just super OP as well.
Really wanted to
just
see
rip Magneto. Everyone just ripping each other apart.
That would be cool.
Magneto would have been amazing. They fully
called that
hoping.
Shit.
It would have ruined Ricochet on the way. Wolverine's biggest weakness is Magneto, but so it kind of would have ruled him out.
So sick to see him back.
So when we was on the way to the cinema for it, because obviously us three went and we met you there, Ricochet blatantly just called out in the car like, Magneto's going to be in it, or Magneto should be in it. Like, he was so happy and confident, and they were like, no, Magneto, oh, he's dead. It's like, shut that shit down. It's not Ricochet's face break.
Were you happy with Gambit?
I was.
I love the fact they've played with his accent so much.
Yeah, the accent was funny.
What accent was that?
Channing Tatum is great as an actor. When he does like funny shit, the whole Gambit role. Like he's mumbling shit, but he does it so well.
So well. The fact it's part of the joke. Like so his accent good, is so bad.
Dead face is like, what?
But he was sick as well, though. He actually sold it in the fight scene.
Were wicked with him. I loved his the way they'd done the kinetic energy thing. Yeah, it was so dope.
But you know what? Sort of talking back about the ending again. I think because Deadpool's willing to kill anyone, right? A big thing about the traditional superhero is he or she doesn't want to kill, or they don't want to resort to violence, and they have to in the end, right? They get to this big decision and it's like, I need to fight because essentially I had to protect my thing and you want to kill it, fuck it, let's go for it. So it's a big deal, right? Internally and externally. Whereas Deadpool's like, you're going to kill anyway. It doesn't mean much to you to defeat someone. So if we just saw him cut off the big bad's head, it's just another day. But because in the comics and his character he's sort of the anti-hero, his choices are up for so much more questioning on his morality, that when he does his big change, you know, the whole circle story thing where like the hero realizes his thing and conquers it, he's just always like doing the right thing because, like you said, you know, I'm not doing it because I need it, I'm doing it because they need it, I'm doing it for others. Sort of the whole play on his whole thing with the Avengers interview. It's like, oh, that's his victory. Her dying is just a consequence. She just had to be there for someone to do bad shit to, essentially. And then his team up with Wolverine, which to a certain extent, I think we all saw coming. I was like, there's way too much of a gap and you're already pulling way too hard. There's a whole human being gap there. Yeah. It's even yellow. And then Wolverine just, oh. No, I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm glad they didn't necessarily overly focus on the whole, okay, yeah, you know, I've lost the girl because of these reasons, and by the end, I'm really going to get her back. It was just a little hint towards a little hand touch, a little something there, and they just left it. Like, I appreciated that. That was nice.
It was an interesting way to start their relationship in this third one, considering the last one, he literally went back in time to save her and shit.
I think it showed the nice reality of the superhero work, though, to a certain extent, depending on your motivation. Like, it's either going to go against you or go with you, I would imagine. So how do you balance that sort of life with a relationship? Because you see them having a genuinely kind of a human conversation of just frustration. They can't just seem to communicate to each other. I was like, yeah, that kind of looks realistic, especially for their circumstance.
I think it just added that layer for him to need to prove himself a hero.
To me, that's that's what I took it as. Like, they just added that in there to give him some kind of motivation for his actions.
Yeah,
that was like,
if they were together,
he
and
needs
happy
to prove himself. Oh, you know, since he had the interview, you never got back up, and what can we do? And it was just like that for me. Was like, okay, you've added that because that's now his motivation.
100%.
It wasn't needed,
100%.
But they've just given it like a human touch to the film.
And that's, but I like that. I like that because a lot of Deadpool storylines, like, he can be in some instances like just a bit inhumane, just genuinely go crazy because he's kind of insane in a lot of different versions, multiple characters and stuff. Whereas in this one, they always add a little emotional component. Like, oh, he's still that, you know, he's still human. They always add that component in, so I'm glad they...
That's probably just the Disney touch on having Deadpool now adding all that extra stuff in there.
No, but they've done that in the first and second film. There's always... she's always been the main thing.
In the first and second film, he was a bit more off the rails. This one, he was still kind of tame, but I think in the first film especially, it was more like just Deadpool being Deadpool. Going absolutely fucking mental for a lot of the film, which is what I like to see from Deadpool anyway. Just him doing absolutely insane shit, fourth wall breaking stuff, taking the piss. That's what I like to see from Deadpool, but that's just me.
I didn't know. 100%. That is what you go to see a Deadpool film for, and it is the.
I feel like the he does get a bit of character development in each film.
I feel
like that little touch is needed. But most of it is just Deadpool being Deadpool.
Like, this film literally started with him putting his heart out to say, I want to be an Avenger. He was kind of mocking it a little bit as well, but that is the first thing you kind of see of him.
No, he was just mocking a fucking
happy.
Weren't you the chauffeur?
It
was like John Favreau back as well. It was cool.
He looked a bit strange.
Did you notice the de-aging? That's what I was going to ask. At first I was like, why is he got fucking like lipo or something? And I was like, no, it's 28, it's supposed to be 2018, and those cheeks, it looked really, it was really weird CG.
Yeah, it did pull me a little bit because I was like, that is Favreau, but it's not Favreau. That's very strange.
What have they done?
So, a little bit was
weird. Like, spend your budget there.
Do you know what? Like, coming off of what Rick said, with kind of the Fox versions that we've had now. This is a bit more obviously under the Disney banner. I feel like the only difference I felt was like the beats were just different. It still paid off for me. Because in the Deadpool 1 and 2, especially more so 1, it was like a light sprinkle of all these little things that you've always wanted to see Deadpool 2. Even just turn and face the camera was just something amazing. 2 kind of just developed on that formula, where 3 was more like a lot of action, a lot of movement, and then like, and he would blatantly say like, and I know you've been waiting for this. And then a big fight scene, yeah. A big thing. And it's just like, the beats were still there, but rather than like 50, it was like just 25, see, like spaced out a bit more.
Yeah.
With the beats and the cameos and the fights. Because even with the whole multiverse thing, they handled that perfectly. Because it was, they just directly said, we've had enough of this shit.
Yeah.
But also, let's actually get what we can only do with multiverses. Me and fucking Wolverine fucking up every version of Deadpool.
Mm.
We can only do that in a multiverse. And you wanted that fight as well. And they just balanced that perfectly.
No.
Would that be, at least?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I am starting to appreciate this film more and more.
It was a good film.
The effort overall, they put into the fight scenes alone, they paid off the gaps in between for me, definitely.
When you think about Elektra just being like, Daredevil was dead.
Yeah, I mean, it gave her character more to like. Because, I mean, Elektra coming back is kind of one of them things that's a very niche audience that you're aiming at there.
Like, I liked it, though.
Very. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate her, but would I have preferred Affleck as Daredevil? Yeah. Like, I actually would have way preferred that. It would have been really fun to see. And there would have been easy Batman jokes in there for Deadpool, which would have been great.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that would have tipped the budget. I would have preferred another big Avenger cameo, because I know we got a little bit of Thor in that little shot, which...
You got a bit of Hulk as well.
He got a bit of Hulk, because he's just the CG version.
He was doing the Spider-Man things in the car.
Little Spider-Man reference, but... I would have liked to have seen, just some other cameo. I thought it was going to be cameo galore, to be honest, and I thought it was going to be oversaturation with cameos, and it wasn't as many as I thought. But I mean, maybe that would have been, it could have gone overkill. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it hit the note that I almost expected. That I knew there was going to be cameos, but I thought because there wasn't too many, everyone had enough screen time to have a function and a story. Just enough for the story. So when you have too many, you just don't have enough screen time to tell everyone's story and make you care to a certain extent. So I think, like, I like the introduction when they wake up with Elektra, right? And then I think Blade walks in, then fucking Gambit walks in, and then X-23. But the way they left that door lit up, it's like, is it going to be Deadpool? Is it going to be Punisher? Is it, like, you just, it really just took their time. They really got like an intro, fucking flick the cards, stand, have a quip, walk to one side, then the next one walks in. I was like, oh, they're just like red carpet.
They could have just kept going with that. That would have been a whole bit.
I had no idea that they were going to be in the movies. When they walked in, I was like, huh? What is going on?
Yeah.
Is it going to be anyone else?
Yeah, it was fun.
I've been hearing about, what's his name? The guy who played Gambit.
Channing Tatum.
I've been hearing about that because I listened to like the Weekly Planet podcast, the whole Mr. Sunday Movies, the comic book thing. Mm-hmm. But I've been listening to it for years, man. It's probably been like genuinely like 10 years or something. And they've been talking about this guy being cast as him for that fucking long. And it's just been such a running joke of like, and there's more news. And there's more. No, it's finally shut down. No, it's coming back. Oh, it's a resurgence. No. Backwards and forwards. So I'm just happy for him. He finally got to do it, but also poke that fun. Like, he can flex a comedy role so fucking well.
He is very comedic. He's great. Yeah, that whole accent thing is just killer. It's just so well done.
But he does it perfectly in a way of you're like, almost like, is it me? Is it me? And then sometimes he goes almost Jamaican, then he just sounds like fucking Italian, and I'm like, no, it's him. No, Deadpool's mentioned. I'm like, okay, what the fuck? I thought it was, I couldn't understand him.
Yeah, what is he? He's southern, he's from the south of America, isn't he? But he's part French.
Creole.
Something Creole. Like that.
Where do we have Mardi Gras?
Louisiana?
I think it's somewhere in that area.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Raising the Thieves Guild of New Orleans. The occasion was... Yep. Okay.
I genuinely loved Gambit. Even like when I loved the old X-Men 90s cartoons. Gambit was one of my favourite characters.
Yeah, I remember you always been very excited about Gambit.
I mean, a little bit of a sidebar on the Gambit thing, but have you guys seen the X-Men cartoon that they... brought out on Disney Plus.
No, I haven't seen the revamp.
I'm telling you now, it's fucking awesome. Listeners, please go and watch it. It's fantastic. And Gambit's in it. He's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Like, but that's where they got their big shine, which was the original X-Men cartoons.
Mm.
Like, they... introduced it to me as my generation.
But they knew that with this film, they knew exactly what audience they were hitting. They knew that people our age from the old school cartoons, they were going to go watch that shit.
Yeah.
And they hit it perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. No comic book nerd from the 80s or 90s was going to miss Deadpool vs Wolverine, the movie, with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, no way.
Like, you're always going to go and watch it. So all these cameos, all these little nods, just right up our alley.
Yeah. Especially, you know, when you know behind the camera these two guys are clearly like friends, but they got the same banter. Like, even their own things, like when Hugh Jackman went and fucking, like, Rick and Morty, like, you can tell he takes a type of sense of humour to do something like that. Yeah. You know Ryan Reynolds' a sense of humour, so you're like, they're both definitely gonna, even the trailer hit that perfect buddy cop thing of when they start telling the whole storyline in the film and acting it out, it just goes like muted.
Yeah.
You just see them just silently slashing and screaming and laughing, and they're like, yeah, and that's the film, please come watch it. You're like, oh my god.
Mm.
But they're just having fun, and I think that just adds to the experience.
Alright, question for you guys: if there's a next Deadpool film,
oh god,
what would be like your big pitch? Like, what would be like the, you know, what's the thing that's going to be happening? I'll start us off because I've already thought of one, and you guys can think. Right,
okay, we can edit the silence out.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd give you time to think so you guys can think while I say it. You know, the Collector, the whole idea with the Collector. Yeah. I think Deadpool breaking free from the Collector and being able to, like, pick his warriors and pick his team and stuff like that, I think something along that line would be perfect for a Deadpool movie, especially if Hugh Jackman's coming back as Wolverine. It'd be really fun for him to be like, hey, and, like, free him from the thing and be like, yeah, let's do this.
So it's like Buzz and Woody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of like Buzz and Woody.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see something like that. Something that gets him to work with Hugh Jackman again, but also to get fresh cameos.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're there for a reason,
and that's a larger plot as well.
Yeah,
I don't know if it could be that, or if it will just be him starring in like an actual new Avengers film or a new team up film.
I do feel like,
because there is going to be a new Avengers film.
Yeah,
there is going to be a new Avengers film. And it is the Russo brothers directing,
so it's going to have gravitas to it. Like,
and it's going to be a big fucking cast, which means Deadpool and Wolverine are very likely to be in it.
But I don't know.
Is that going to be the next thing?
That's it. Is it going to be? Are they going to make their appearance in an Avengers movie then?
Standalone Deadpool film.
Yeah, I feel like it would actually be better for them to not get involved with the Avengers. I feel like it's more fun to bring the Avengers to them than it is to go to the, because I feel like the integrity of the Avengers movie will be ruined by Deadpool. Like, poking holes in the story while you're trying to watch it, I wouldn't enjoy if that was happening during Endgame. You know what I mean?
The only idea that can come to mind, but I don't have like a story in my head because I've just asked this question like 3 minutes ago, but I would love to see an interaction between Deadpool and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because they've always had good comic book chemistry. Yeah. I think that both actors could handle it, but the way I imagine it in my head is almost like Deadpool finally joins the Avengers, and obviously Spider-Man is there by association. They do this big thing, and they all save the world or whatever, and then they're just like, almost like end of the day sort of thing. They're all kind of slowly going home, and they just like get talking, and it's like the whole film is just them getting home, and there's just this crazy adventure.
Yeah,
like, it's so off key, like, it's you're not getting the Avengers battle, that just shit finishes and they have their own little contained adventure on the way home or something.
That would be fun.
But just a little really buddy fun. Cop thing. But I would, yeah, I would love to see their them on screen together.
I think they should do a little series on Disney Plus, like What If, but not, it doesn't even have to be animated, it could just be little skits, but like little 15 minute skits where they have little adventures with Deadpool, and it could just be Deadpool versus the little series of Deadpool versus Spider-Man, Hulk, you know, not necessarily versus, absolutely. But you know, they'll have a little fight because, you know, that's what you're getting.
It's just
for
him. It's just a little short of him
with a random
superhero from anywhere across.
Yeah, Marvel. Why not? Why not? He's got the Doctor Strange's ring now or something. You know what I mean? Just chuck him that.
Now, do you know what I would love to do? Is like, if they somehow like wipe Deadpool's memory or something, like a different version of Deadpool. And it's always the same formula in every episode. It's just like, oh, he bumps into like this character, he fights, oh, they become friends and they team up at the end, they save the world. And it just, every episode Deadpool slowly becomes more and more aware. Like, eighth episode is like, we're gonna fight now, look, we're gonna be friends, please. Like, yeah, it just keeps getting more and more like, well, who the fuck is wiping my memory? But yeah, then you can have the crazy cameos and shit, but yeah, I would definitely like to see them together. I didn't hear any of your pitches, by the way, because I was deep into mine, so
no one else gave a pitch.
I thought one of you did. I swear to God,
well, we were thinking that it would be best if it was in like his own film where he brings in other Avengers or something like that, rather than being in a bigger, just being in the next Avengers film or something like that. So I guess we're thinking that a Deadpool 4 is more likely.
Yeah, I would definitely
say it
would
be something where he gets to pick.
I think it would be
his
more
team.
Like,
yeah,
I think according to the budget, he would say.
I think just based off where it's gone so far, I think it's more than likely he will go do something with the X-Men, with them Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and maybe do something with the rest of the school.
A couple more.
With Wolverine, bring him back. Maybe he can be like the new head teacher or something. Take Charles's place or something. But then he's got another team of young X-Men to carry on.
What Charles is even alive?
I don't know
which one it is.
I think that's it. You've kind of already said like the loophole is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a shit, like, because both of it was technically canon in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of contradicts itself. It's fine because it's Deadpool, but when you start trying to make it serious, like, oh, he's in the MCU now, so there's law to it. You can't. Deadpool has no law. You can't.
Yeah.
You just have to rule it out as, yeah, but it's Deadpool.
Yeah, like I said, it was. Honestly, we could sit and nitpick it all day, and there's so much we could say, but it's just the journey. It's just a Deadpool film. You walk in, it makes a good impression, you walk out, and then you watch it every once in a while, and it's always just a good time, and you move on. Like, that's always what Deadpool's been for me.
It would be cool if Deadpool is the only person who knows Peter Parker. That would be a fun little story.
His identity.
If they could do that. Because no one knows who Peter Parker is after My Way Home. And maybe because he regens and stuff, his brain's constantly regens from the spell or something. Or because he's from a different universe or whatever. But just to be like, yeah, look, of course I know it's you, Peter Parker.
You know,
in this comic book, it literally says your name's Peter Parker.
Even the golden little control pad of the TVA thing. Even if it was like, oh, I read about your whole timeline thing. Like, I know you personally. I've been reading you like a fucking story or like a comic book.
You must be so lonely. Like, you've got
no one. That's the way
in.
That's why
I'm here.
That's the way in. They have a big superhero fight. They all walk away. And he's the only one to go, hey, Peter. And he'd be like, oh, how do you know? And then that's how they get in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then they can have little adventures together.
Disney, sponsor us.
I wonder if he knows Tom Holland. Do you think they hang out?
He must.
Probably.
He must.
I think Tom Holland's in.
I think their bands would be hilarious.
Yeah. I think they were in a film together. They were in a film together, an animated film together.
Oh.
Does that really count?
The spy one? I can't remember what it's called.
No, that was the one with Will Smith.
With the bird.
Will Smith.
No, but I think
he might have cameoed in it, but I know it was Tom Holland in there, Will Smith.
Yeah. Alright, round the room again. What's your final verdict out of 10?
I could lean towards a 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. It's gone up since.
It feels like it's kind of, because I feel like whatever it's done well, it's owned it and it's not overdone it. Whatever it didn't matter overall, to me at least. So I'm like, you know what, maybe a 9 out of 10. It done what it needed to do quite well, but this is one of those films that definitely it deserves a second watch. Give it a little bit of time and I'll feel differently. But yeah, 9 out of 10. It's gone up by one.
Fair. I think solid 9 out of 10. I think I'm going to watch some breakdown videos on YouTube and then probably be like, nah, this film is so much better than I realised.
Yeah.
But for now, definitely after first watch, being a fan, 9 out of 10.
I think that's fair. I think I'm sticking with 8.5. I'm sticking with 8.5, but it does need a second watch. I probably will watch it again. And after the second time, it probably will be bumped up to a 9 once I've spoiled all the extra little bits and caught the other extra little story beats. But at the moment, I'm sticking with 8.5, but still quality movie.
Yeah,
I think I'll keep it as an 8.
You're going to keep it as an 8?
Yeah.
Like I said, this side of the room has no soul. Me and Charlie's side.
I think me and you are much more susceptible to hype. So I think I think we're probably like, yeah, 9, and then we might rewatch it and be like, no, I think 8 was a fair shout.
No, because I said 8 out of 10 honestly, and you were like, what's lost the mark of 2, and I couldn't name it. So we had time to talk about it. I'm like, I can't justify the 2. I can justify the 1 because all the shit that we did talk about was still nitpicking.
Yeah,
it wasn't movie breaking in a sense.
And when you put a film at a 9, that's a 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
that's a very high score. What other films would you give a 9?
Yeah, but I'm not comparing it necessarily to every sort of type of film. Like, within the little Marvel world of its own little containment, that's a really good film. It done its job well. It done it like at 90% quite well, if you want to put it that way, then, and 10% it failed. But as a whole film, above all film, probably could be a 6, because there's so many better films out there. But it done its job well enough to get its own 9 out of 10 for its own film.
No,
but
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, I think on IMDb it's going to be like a 6.8.
Probably.
I'll be honest. On the scale of things, when you put 20%. A 10 out of 10 as like, I mean, for me, Endgame is a 10 out of 10, or Infinity War is a 10 out of 10. You put it next to things like that, you do go, well, yeah. It was a fun ride, but yeah. I mean, shit me. It did not put me through the ring.
I've then been scoring films apparently wrong, because I've never scored a film like that. I've always just looked at it as, how well has it done its job? I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's it. That is the way to. That is the way to grade. Otherwise,
you start
will
comparing.
Be
like, you start.
Yeah.
You can't compare anything
to Endgame.
I made a point.
Everyone else though. Made your point for you.
Yeah. No, they completed the sentences, but they resonated with me.
AKA, they made the point for you. Don't worry, it's fine. Go on, Fraser. You're sticking with an 8.
Yeah, sticking with an 8.
Sticking with an 8.
It's a really
decent.
Good film.
Fairly
it's
decent.
A great film.
It's,
yeah.
It's the best. It's the highest I've rated a Deadpool film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. So would you say it's your favourite Deadpool film then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by far, I guess.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman top is just perfect. Yeah. Perfect match for Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, everyone was a bit R-rated.
Yeah. Yeah, they added a little spin on every character.
Yeah, it wasn't just Deadpool.
No,
just hearing Wolverine just cuss everything out, I was like, yeah,
but
God.
It fit in so well.
Get out, Hugh.
Yeah, I'm not even waiting for it.
He deserved that shit.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
Let's watch some reviews and breakdowns.
I don't know, it literally just came out, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Righty then, so thank you everyone. Don't clap. No. It's my clap. It's my introduction.
Well done.
Yeah. GG's. Thank you for listening to another episode of Red Jacks on.
Every time we clap, I'll get a clap.
We've all been your host. I'm Sirhan.
Oh, I'm Charlie.
Right. And Fraser.
Yeah! Worst outro ever. Worst outro. You can tell we've been watching Deadpool.